Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Unconceivable! Unbelievable! Grandma like a hammer, information receivable! Sent by the Lord, here and abroad, with words for the Lord, and the great
I literally just want to listen to this song now.
It's a good one.
This is Run DMC, Tougher Than Leather. Oh, did I love this song, this whole CD. All right, let's talk to James Herbert here. We'll go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. James Herbert writes for CBSSports.com. We've had him on before, and with NBA free agency going on, we thought we'd bring him on again. I actually, I had read something on CBSSports.com today, James, that that had you answering some questions about NBA free agency. So can I ask you them on the air and have you give the answer?
Yeah, I'll just recite exactly what I wrote. Although that was a little loud. I don't even know if I can remember what my opinions were then, so please don't hold me to that.
Well, I'll follow along in your column, and I'll hold your feet to the fire if you give a different answer. First, you didn't even have this there, but Wayne Ellington, I'll start there, because Wayne Ellington is back with the Miami Heat. That seems like a pretty awesome signing. 1 year, a little over $6 million. That's a great deal for the Heat.
I would call that an extremely team-friendly deal. I mean, what team could not use Wayne Ellington in today's NBA? I mean, he's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, not just based on his three-point percentage, because there are actually guys that shoot better from deep, but in terms of the type of shot that he takes, right? Like, if you watch Wayne Ellington, like, he takes contested threes, he takes them off the dribble, he takes deep threes from, like, 28, 30 feet out, and you have to guard him out there. You have to track him when he runs around screens. You have to pay attention to him. He was just an enormous part of how that Heat offense just sort of blows last year. I mean, the guy was earning Ray Allen comparisons from Spo all year long. I wouldn't have been surprised if he had jumped to a contender after the market dried up, but I think he just really liked his time in Miami, and the market was such that he sort of had to settle for that amount of money. But I don't think he is just a $6 million a year player in today's NBA. It's just sort of a weird offseason.
What was the reason? Like, there didn't seem to be much of a long-term market for him, or he's just betting on himself here?
I think he's betting on himself. He's staying somewhere where he's comfortable. He looks at next year. He sees that as a much more player-friendly market, which it is. Although, I mean, now that there are so many people that took one-year deals, I mean, more than half of the free agents that signed this summer have taken one-year deals, so it's still going to be kind of crowded. It's just a lot more teams will have cap space. I think, honestly, like, this is a victory for Heat culture, in a sense. I know people talk about it all the time, but I think this is where he has enjoyed the most success in his career. It's the first time that an organization has really given him a big role like this and invested in him and counted on him, and I think he honestly didn't want to leave. That was what he said in his first public comment. I think the story could have been different if somebody came out there and offered him, like, $12, $15 million a year, but that didn't happen. Because there just weren't that many teams that had cap space. And I think a player like that, like, you're not looking at him as a guy you necessarily want to sign for, like, a four-year deal if you're an up-and-coming team that isn't quite there yet. I think you have to be a good team. You have to have playoff aspirations to go and get a guy like that that could contribute. And those teams generally didn't have much money to spend.
James Herbert is with us, CBSSports.com. All right, here are some of the questions that you wrote and then answered at CBSSports.com. If the Sixers, okay. If the Sixers are done, how should we look at their offseason?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question, and I think it is fair if you are underwhelmed by the Sixers.
It was underwhelming, wasn't it? You'd have thought that people would have wanted to go play in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, they had a shot, right? Like, I mean, they had a meeting at least with Rich Paul to talk about getting LeBron. You know, they were preparing to have a meeting with Paul George. It never happened because Paul George didn't meet with anybody. But they were in a position to do that. Now, they still could be in the mix for Kawhi Leonard. We don't know. But I think expectations were high going into this offseason because of how well they did last year the young star talent they have in the roster and the fact that they did have cap space, or at least a mechanism to create enough cap space to go and sign a real superstar here. But I would just caution against going too far down that road and just killing the Sixers for what they did. They were able to bring back J.J. Redick and do that on a one-year deal that was more team-friendly than it was last year. They got Wilson Chandler in a second-round pick for absorbing him, but he'll actually be a player that contributes for them next season. I really liked bringing back Amir Johnson at the minimum. That's a guy they paid $10 billion to last year, and I really liked getting Nemanja Bjelica for $4.3 million. I thought he'd get paid a lot more than that. I thought it was sort of strange that the Wolves would prefer Anthony Tolliver to him, apparently, but as far as a guy that can replace Ersan Ilyasova, I think Bjelica does that, and he provides better defense. I think they could end up being a better regular season team than they were last year, and then they still go into next season with the ability to chase a star again because they sacrificed exactly zero future flexibility. They didn't bring in anybody on long-term deals. So I'm not super down on the Sixers offseason myself. I think it was fine. The main problem is that I think they got everybody's expectations so high because they were talking about star hunting and there are all these rumors about LeBron and Paul George, and that stuff just didn't happen.
And James, you said something about Kawhi. What's going on with him? The Spurs seem like they're slow playing him. Like, is there any strategy behind what they're doing with Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah, I think they're taking their time. I think they want to create a bidding war, and that just hasn't happened yet. I think it's tough. Like, I just got back from Summer League, and nobody I talked to in Vegas was sort of preparing for a Kawhi deal to come down right away. Like, nobody was really thinking this is imminent, and I think the Spurs are in a really, like, interesting, weird, sort of tough position with him, where it doesn't seem like they've completely given up on the idea of trying to repair this relationship and bring him back. But I think from everything that has been reported and rumored on the other side, is that Kawhi's camp has pretty much decided they're done with the Spurs. And I don't know if this will last until training camp, if there'll be some sort of holdout. Maybe this drags on and he gets traded in August, like what happened last year with Kyrie while the whole NBA world is on vacation. Like, that seems possible to me, but I think it's certainly not sort of the sort of thing we were thinking it might be before free agency started, where it's like, all right, they're going to get all the best offers in and they're going to make a trade right away. Like, the Spurs are sort of acting like they have time on their side, and I guess they do to a certain point. I think once we get closer to the season, you're looking at a guy that is a one-year rental that could be a free agent next summer. Nobody's seen his medical records, and it makes it harder and harder to justify trading for him unless you have assurance that he'll re-sign with you. And as far as what we're hearing is that he's only really wants to play in L.A., so that makes it tough for everybody else.
James Herbert, CBSSports.com. One of the other questions you answered at CBSSports.com, how will the Lakers play?
Yeah, I think that is the really interesting question about that team. They went and made a bunch of moves after signing LeBron that I think confused everybody. You generally think you want defenders and you want floor spacers next to LeBron James. They went and they got playmakers. Putting him next to Rajon Rondo, putting him next to Lance Stevenson, I don't think anybody thinks that is necessarily natural. And then when you think of how Luke Walton wants to play, I mean, he's talked the last couple of years about playing like the Spurs did in 2014, playing like the 86 Celtics, playing like the Warriors do right now. Like, he wants to generally play super fast. He wants a ton of passing. LeBron tends to slow things down. He tends to play sort of matchup basketball, manipulate the defense, create open shots, have the ball in his hands a lot. Now you have all these other guys who need the ball in their hands, not to mention Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, the guy, like, they already had playmakers on this team. I think everybody's just wondering who is going to compromise what, who's going to sacrifice touches, what kind of system should be in place. We don't have to sort of spin this and say they want to play fast, they want to keep the same sort of style, but also LeBron will have the ball in his hands a lot. I don't know how both of those things can be true.
And, James, we know LeBron loves Magic Johnson. He went out there, the business, you know, off-the-court stuff. He just loves being out there in L.A. with Magic. It makes sense. But there's a story out when he was at the Heat, he asked Pat Riley to come coach instead of Spo. And then he went to Cleveland and got David Blatt fired. Are you sure this Luke Walton-LeBron thing is going to work out?
I mean, I can't know right now. Like, honestly, like, I have immense respect for Luke Walton. I think he's done a good job in the couple years that he's had with this team, but I mean, you also have to think about, like, LeBron doesn't have much of a relationship with him yet in terms of a player-coach relationship. I think, if anything, they sort of have to see themselves as peers. They were drafted at the same time. And it's just it's an interesting one. I mean, even, like, think about it. Like, Pelinka and Magic Johnson didn't hire Luke Walton. He was put in by the previous regime, and he's kept his job because I think he's a good young up-and-coming coach, and I think he has an awesome relationship with Jeannie Buss there. But this is definitely not LeBron's hand-picked coach. It's not even Magic Johnson's hand-picked coach. So I think he can do this job. I think he has the personality to be a really good coach in today's NBA. But does that mean that LeBron will be happy with him 10 games into the season, 15, 20 games into the season? I have no idea.
Question number three you answered at CBSSports.com. The Washington Wizards have added Dwight Howard, Jeff Green, and Austin Rivers this offseason. What's Washington doing?
Yeah, I wish I could give a simple answer to what they're doing. It's not the most exciting offseason. I think Wizards fans, I think I wrote there, they seem like the most depressed fan base in the NBA right now. I think sort of individually, if you look at the moves, you can justify them. Right? Like Dwight Howard at that price, be a productive player. Like Jeff Green was pretty good for the Cavs last year. He's coming in on a minimum contract. Austin Rivers gives them some guard depth that they haven't really had over the past few years. It's just when you look at that roster in its totality, I think like Wizards fans were hoping there would be some more sort of sweeping changes to the roster this year. They have so much money bundled up in their top three guys over the next few years. It seems like they're kind of stuck in the middle of the Eastern Conference. Maybe LeBron is gone. They can talk themselves into this being an upper echelon team in the East. But I think for that to happen, they're going to have to be more than the sum of their parts. They're going to have a defined identity. They're going to have some chemistry. And this has just been a sort of miserable locker room over the past couple of years. And I don't know that you want to introduce Dwight Howard into that situation. Like, he generally does not improve locker rooms. He makes them worse.
James Herbert is with us from CBSSports.com. Question four, who wants Kevin Love?
Yeah, I truly don't know. I think since I wrote that, because that's about a week and a half old now, reports continue to come out here that the Cavs want Kevin Love, that the Cavs intend to compete next season. I don't know whether or not to believe this. Like, it seems to me the most logical, rational thing Cleveland can do is tear this thing down, lose a bunch of games, give Colin Sexton the ball, let him make all the mistakes in the world and score a bunch of points, maybe be in the Rookie of the Year conversation and not even think about the playoffs. But I mean, from the sounds of it, Dan Gilbert is feeling competitive. He wants to prove that he can do something without LeBron. Kevin Love should come back and be an all-star, maybe even see Minnesota Kevin Love again. I don't know. I don't think that's a smart plan. Maybe it's a smart plan to start the season with him, have him put up great numbers and maybe increase his trade value a little bit. But I just find it hard to believe that there's a long-term home for Kevin Love in Cleveland. The tough thing is, when you go around the league, like I tried to do in the article, like there are good teams that could use him, but it's hard to construct trades that really make a ton of sense. It's just his game isn't as adaptable as some other guys at his position. He's certainly not as valuable as he was 4 years ago before he went to Cleveland. He's still an all-star player. He's really productive, but I mean, if you're a big that doesn't do that well when switched on to small players, if you're a big that can be targeted on defense, there are real questions about how effective you can be in the playoffs. He's certainly had his moments, but I mean, you've seen it with the Cavs over the past 2 years, the sort of matchup problems that Kevin Love can cause on the defensive end.
James Herbert, he's a writer for CBS Sports. You can read his stuff at CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter as well. On the way out here, the real pressing question, do you like coleslaw?
Yeah, I'm totally fine with coleslaw.
No, not fine with it. Do you like it? Do you enjoy it?
He just gave you his answer.
He said he's
yes.
Okay with
no,
it.
No, he likes coleslaw. He answered the question. You like it's a very good, delicious side, yes?
It is a nice side dish if I'm having barbecue, yes. I don't
right.
eat it all that often, but I dig it.
Right, and if you're having a pulled pork sandwich, coleslaw on top of it is really the only way to eat it.
The only way? It is a way to eat it. I've done that before. I don't do it every time I have pulled pork, though.
And you like
I think I'm more moderate on this issue than either of you guys, who I think are at the extreme.
We are. We're at two opposite ends of the spectrum.
See, James,
here.
He doesn't season his meat, so you got to put a bunch of crap on your sandwich when you don't season your meat.
Now, when you have coleslaw, do you prefer the vinegar-based coleslaw or a mayo-based coleslaw?
I prefer the mayo-based, personally.
Yeah, myself as well.
Is that controversial?
No, no. I think that's a more respected slaw.
Okay. I can't disrespect Manny.
I can't tell how hot my takes are here. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I maintain that if you're a child, you don't like coleslaw. Like, it's, get the coleslaw off my plate, mommy. And when you it's okay if you're a child to not like coleslaw. I'm down with that. But when you become an adult, you realize that that's a very appropriate and delicious side.
Yeah, I didn't like it much when I was a kid.
Of course.
But I still think, I've had bad coleslaw as an adult. Like, it is not always a hit. It has to be done correctly.
You are correct. You are correct there. It's almost like coffee. You know, a kid, you want to try my coffee? No, it smells funny. And then you become an adult and you like it. So if you're stuck, you know, in the mentality of being a child, you probably look at the coleslaw and you go, I don't want that on my plate.
And when it's in a recession, then you eat coleslaw because that's what cabbage is, recession food.
Okay, if you say so. James Herbert, CBSSports.com. Thank you, James.
Thanks so much for having me.
Appreciate him even more than he knows.
Coleslaw.
I did that entire interview just to get to that question. And crossing my fingers, man.
Now you got me wishing people don't like coleslaw. Come on, James.
I said this after the show yesterday. We were talking because we talked about it yesterday, and I was talking with our program director. A couple other guys were up here, and I said, man, you will never find anything funnier on radio that people will cape up for certain things. Like, you know, you got people on both sides of the Ryan Tannehill debate, but you will never see people cape up for something the way they will for coleslaw or, you know, just the inane things.
Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut.
That's a strong feeling about sauerkraut.
But if you bring it up in this forum, people will cape up and till they die. I will tell you the virtues of coleslaw till I die. Speaking of Ryan Tannehill, training camp is almost here. Starting next week, 560 WQAM is going to be holding training camp 12-a-days. Did you go through 2-a-days?
I was still when football was football. Yeah, I was there. Now they got walk-through. They walk all day. How you can play football when you walk? All you do is walk-through.
Well, now we're doing 12-a-days for a month, 12 times a day, Monday through Friday. You could win $1,000. You listen for the keywords. We will give them out between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then you'll text them to the special text line 72881. You can program it on your phone right now, 72881, and you'll have a chance to get that $1,000 training camp pay. It's WQAM's 12-a-days starting next week. Right here on AM 560, FM 96.5, HD2 WQAM, which happens to be a radio.com station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.